be looking out for it. You should look better than you looked yesterday. And you should look better than you looked last year. In every way. So we're going to pray and say, Lord, help us to take hold of our destiny of greatness. You see, whatever, we've said it many, many times, whatever that you are destined for will not just fall on your laps. You need to take action. And that is what we need to do. So we're going to pray again. Say, Lord, help me to take hold. In other words, help me to do what I got to do for me to walk into this destiny of greatness. Lift up your voice one more time. Let's begin to pray. Just begin to pray. It is real. It is real. It is real. Begin to pray. Say, God, help me to take hold. Help me to take hold. Take hold of everything. Take hold of everything. Take hold of everything. Take hold of everything that is needed for me to rise up. Yes, 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 yes. To rise up. 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 Jesus, help us. Help us. Help us. That means some of us need to awaken from our sleep. Some of us need to wake up from sleep. Begin to pray and say, God, help me not to leave any stone unturned, but everything that I need to do, I will rise up and do it so that my light will shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter each day. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful to you for this morning. Thank you for this great opportunity to be in church, to worship you and to serve you, and also to hear from you, to hear divine truths from your word. Truth that is able to push us, move us forward unto that destiny that you have called us to. For we become partakers of your divine nature through the knowledge of you. We ask this morning that, Lord, we will not miss on anything that you have for us. Speak to us. We bless you that our light is going to shine brighter and brighter each day. We'll leave your presence this morning even shining brighter than we came in. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you that there is none that is here this morning that would miss their destiny of greatness. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you sit, go shake somebody and say, this is my year of greatness. Leave your chair. Shake somebody that you have not spoken to for a while. Shake somebody that you don't even like talking to. Today, begin to talk to that person. It will open the door for your greatness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we thank you also for all these blessed offerings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's come to our seats now, please. Amen. So we'll continue our series on the secret. I believe that everything that we have talked about so far to this point, this year, has to do with our prophetic destiny. Yeah. Some of you don't believe prophetic things when they come in a certain way. You only believe prophetic things when it comes from somebody who will take money from you. And say, give me this amount so I can give you a word. That is a sure sign that that kind of a prophet is not real. Yeah. The real prophetic has to do also with teaching the doctrines of God and imparting knowledge. Because the Bible says that it is by the knowledge of God that we become partakers of his divine nature. Amen. Yeah, not just people going around, give me money, give me money, give me money, let me give you a word. No. People who see only evil things. Every time they give you a word, it's about evil. That something bad is happening to you. Your uncle is trying to kill you. Your mother is trying to kill you. Your grandfather or your grandmother is a witch. Yeah. I love my grandmother so much. I love her. Yeah. Because she brought me up. She's 100. She will turn 101 this year in August. 102. No, 101. 101. Yeah, it was last year we said. Yeah. Yeah. She's all great, but beautiful. Yeah. How can she kill me? Because she has gray hair. No. I love her. Yeah. So listen, this is the prophetic word. Yeah. By a prophet, God brought Israel out. And by a prophet, he also preserved Israel. That is how your life is going to be preserved. Yeah. If you look at all the prophets, you look at them, there was none that did not have teaching as one of their basic parts. All of them. They came to impart knowledge. Yeah, all the great prophets, including our bishop. He's a great prophet. That is why teaching is so prominent. So don't just concentrate on predictions. Don't just concentrate on predictions. And even the predictions, they are clear. If you listen to him, you see that they are. So when he says that the Lord has told me to tell you that this is your year of greatness, you got to believe it. Yeah. And the prophecy that you believe is the prophecy that will happen to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. I heard this word from him. He preached it last week, but let me fit it into what we are preaching. It says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if, everybody turn to your neighbor and say, if. In other words, if it is true, if it is indeed true, do you see? It's almost like saying if you have big muscles. Somebody say muscles. It's a word. Or if you have huge muscles and you're very muscular, then how come is that you? You are blessed and you're a beautiful wife. If you have muscles, then lift some weight, let's see. If you have muscles. Let's lift some. So it says, if ye be risen with Christ. If Christ, you have indeed been risen with him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse, it says, and hath raised us up together with Christ. If it is so, then what should you do? It says, then seek those things which be above. Seek. It's not a passive word. It's an active word. Seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. You seek it. If you be risen with Christ, then it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That is the way to greatness. That is the way to greatness. You set. You see, there is no knob that, you know, even the ones that we think are automatic. My car is at the workshop because somebody hit it, and I'm using a rental, and I'm using a Ford Fusion Hybrid. It's fantastic. I don't want one. And the gears are a knob. You know, you set it. It's not like the regular thing that you shift. It's a down thing. So you set it to drive, reverse, park, etc. Now, when the engine is on and you try moving and the door is open, it will just quickly rotate and come to park. The car will move. Even if you put it on reverse, it will come to park. If you put it on drive, it will come to park. You see, it sets itself. We're not talking about that kind of automatic thing. Sometimes the things that you see daily sort of derail you from even getting the full meaning of God. When he says set, it means get up and set. Yeah. When the settings in my room is not as I want and I'm feeling cold or hot, I get up and I reset, I set it. Angel Gabriel doesn't come and set it for me. So it is a conscious effort. You have to tap your neighbor and say, you have to rise up and set something. Yeah. You have to rise up and set. Get up. And so he said, set your affection. Your affection. The things that you like. The things that excite you. The things that make yourself come. If Christ be risen, and you have been raised with him, then set your affection. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this thing that we are all saying, you see, it is not the parroting of, this is my year of greatness, this is my year of greatness, this is my year of greatness, that will take you to the place of greatness. No. It is actually doing it. It is the do. You have to rise up and set your affection on the things above. That is what will make you great. Yeah. And this year, as December approaches, I pray that you'll be amongst the people that are counted as great because you set your affection on the things above, which includes the Word of God, which is key. It is key. That is how we become partakers of his divine nature. So let's go on. We're talking about the secret, isn't it? The secret. We're not talking about a secret. We're talking about the secret. A particular secret, isn't it? Yeah. When we say a secret, it's generalized. It is as though there are many secrets and this is one of them. But we're talking about this secret. And this is the secret to greatness. There is no great man of God. Yeah, at least that I know of. And if you also know great men of God, you will note that there is no great man of God who is not close to God in a certain way. There's no great man of God who does not spend time with God. Reading the Bible, meditating on the word, and having a quiet time with God. There's no great man like without that. And if you want to be great, then you have to do the same thing. And that is the secret. Amen. So what are the advantages of the secret? First, we said number one, a daily quiet time breaks down evil strongholds. It breaks down evil strongholds. It breaks down evil strongholds. Amen. Yeah. Change your mentality about deliverance. One-time deliverance. Yeah. Come on, pour the oil on me. Let me fall. Pastor, lay hands on me. Let me be slain. And all my problems will go away. No. Problems go out. That is why when Jesus entered the temple, he was preaching, the demons started screaming. They can't stand the word. There's no way that demons will come around you and stay with you if you are consistently exposed to the word of God. Oh no, they cannot. They cannot. They cannot. Yeah. And I'm not just talking about Christians who wake up. I've told you already. There's really no ministry of the Holy Spirit without the word. Because the Holy Spirit, when he is come, the Spirit of truth, the Bible says he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is directly related to the word. In fact, he works on the word. And the Spirit of the Lord brooded over the earth. Things were formulated. Things were formulated. So the Holy Spirit works on the word. So ladies and gentlemen, you need a consistent exposure to the word of God daily. Not once a week. Not twice a week. But every day you must have an encounter with the word. Tap your neighbor and say, every day you need a word. In Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 20, I say, is not my word as a fire? Then he says, say the Lord, a And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So the word of God consistently on you is a hammer. Every time you hear the word hammer. Every time you hear the word hammer. You hear it in the morning, hammer. Afternoon, hammer. So a lot of things, strongholds in our lives are broken us with the consistent action. If I may say, the hammeric action. It's a word. Amen. Number two, a daily quiet time leads to the cutting away of unwanted aspects of our lives and character. How many of you feel like there's a chip that you need to cut off? Just expose yourself to the word. Consistent exposure to the word will change you. Amen. It will move you from a person of being, you know, a hot-tempered person. It will cool you down. It will change you. There is nothing that the word of God, since the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, it's able, it pierces, divides asunder, it cuts. As it's going up, it's cutting. It's coming down, it's cutting. It's going sideways. It's two-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. What did we say number three was? It brings spiritual growth. And that is where we were. And we'll continue quickly. We have a lot of things this morning. A lot of people are not in church. I don't know where they are. But we'll continue from here. And we have communion. We have several meetings after church. So we said a daily quiet time will bring spiritual growth. Amen. You need to grow up. You need to be concerned about your spiritual growth. It is only it's only in church and in the Christian world that people don't like to grow. Everywhere else you want to grow. At work you want to grow. You want to be a supervisor. You want to be a manager, isn't it? It's only in church that people don't want to be anything else. I want to be where I am. I don't want to grow. I want to be as the same as I am today, now and forevermore. World without end. It's wrong. So last week I said to you that in as much as in the physical, we do have clear milestones. There are three major milestones that we can identify. We have babyhood, isn't it? We have childhood, and then we have adulthood or manhood. In the same way, spiritually, there are also that category. Okay? Babyhood. So there are baby Christians. There are Christians who are children. And there are Christians who are adults or matured. Amen. Now, last week we talked about some of the basic traits of babies. What did we say? Babies are very irritable. Babies cry a lot. Babies mouth a lot, isn't it? Everything they get, they put in their mouth. Everything they get in their mouth. You see, if you're the kind of Christian that every so-called prophet who comes to town, then you jump. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm going there. Everything you want to put in your mouth. Last week, I was telling you that when you watch, like, Animal Planet, you see how birds give birth. They have their little baby birds. Birds. Not bed that you lie on. And all the only thing that the babies do is they just keep their mouth open. As soon as they hear mommy bed come around, and then they just poke things into their mouth. The mother just drops worms. Whatever, they don't question it. So if the mother brings poison, it goes down. That's baby Christian. Don't be polluted by being a baby. Sometimes even people outside can tell you something about your pastor to pollute you. A pastor that has been with you all these years suddenly has become somebody who doesn't like you, who wants your downfall, who doesn't want you to progress, who doesn't want you to get a job. I mean, which pastor does not want you to get? I want you to get a job and pay tithes. Why will I not want you to get a job? No. Are you understanding? So those are babies. So today let's talk about children. Children in Christ. In that sense, you must be. You see, and in as much as, listen to this, I said this last week. In as much as there's a problem when you see a baby that is not growing. I mean, it's a problem when you have a four-year-old who is always crawling, won't stand. It's a problem. Isn't it? Yeah. In the same way, we must be concerned about your lack of growth spiritually. It's abnormal not to be concerned. That 2 years ago you were a baby, 4 years ago you were a baby, 6 years ago you were a baby, 10 years ago you were a baby. Be concerned. Be concerned that 2 years ago you were a child, 6 years ago you were a child, 5 years ago you were a child, 20 years ago you were a child, 25 years ago you were a child, and you are still a child today. There's something wrong. I'll be concerned if I see a 40-year-old man sucking a bottle. Yeah. When they want food, then they say, yeah. I mean, they are trying, yeah. It's a problem. So as you look at the characteristics and traits of the different stages, apply it to yourself. Be realistic to yourself and say, it is time for me to rise up. Your light ought to shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It has to shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It has to. It's quiet. Are you having your quiet time? Ask your neighbor, are you having your quiet time? Amen. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2 that as newborn babies, we should desire the sincere milk of the word, isn't it? And thereby grow by it. Now, we're talking about children or the childhood stage. Ask your neighbor that, do you want to learn about being a child? All right. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number. Put your hand on Ephesians chapter 4, but go to Galatians chapter 4. Let me show you one scripture. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1 before we move to Ephesians 4. Galatians 4, 1. Did you bring your Bible? All right, turn your Bibles to Galatians 4:1. What does it say? It says, now I say, by the way, we'll share a clip with you on WhatsApp, okay? And in that clip, I think it's a pastor, I'm not too sure whether it's a Baptist pastor or something, and he was teaching and showing the difference, maybe some of you have seen it already, the difference between King James, NIV, and what else? An RSV. It's amazing. So that's why I always stress, whatever version you use, always use the King James and compare. Yeah. There are verses that have actually been cut off. We don't have time. I would have shown it to you. It will jump from verse 25 to 26 or 27. 26 is taken out. Key verses. All right, so don't play with the King James. All right, Galatians 4:1, we said. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as is a child, differeth not from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Who is a heir? The one that is destined to inherit. The one that is destined to inherit greatness. It says, he differeth not from a servant. A servant is not destined to inherit. A servant is just a worker in the house. It says, when you are a child, destined to have a peculiar inheritance, you are not different different from a servant. You see, so what I'm saying to you, or the Bible is saying to us this morning, is this, that you cannot inherit when you're a child. So this is my year of return. Listen, it's not going nowhere until you grow up. Yes. It is not going anywhere until you grow up. You must grow up. That is why you must take it seriously. That I need to grow. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to grow up. Say, I don't mean to offend you, but you need to grow up. And then touch your heart and say, I need to grow up. From where, whatever level you are at, as I'm talking, you should be plain to yourself that, look, I'm a baby, I'm a child, I'm not an adult yet. And even adulthood's maturity, there are levels of maturity. You can be matured in one area, you are not matured in the other area. There are people who are matured in finances, but they are also not matured in other things. Amen. So, the person is not different from a servant. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 now. And we'll pick it up from verse 14. So it says, that we henceforth be no more children. We henceforth be what? No more children. We should not be children anymore. We henceforth be no more children. So now he's telling us some of the characteristics of children. What happens to children? They are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When you are a child, you are tossed to and fro. And it says, don't be children anymore. Don't be a child anymore. You see, it's only children. Let me give you one characteristic of being tossed to and fro. Children are unsteady. When you are unsteady, you are unreliable. You cannot be planned with. You can't. I mean, we're all depending on you to come for. Please don't be offended. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. See, we are depending on you to come and pray, and you won't come. It's a trait of a child. We are depending on you to come for evangelism, and you are nowhere to be found. You are a child. Period. Children are unsteady. They are tossed to and fro. You see, you can tell your 8 or 10 year old child, you know, take this self-propelled, meaning it can move by itself, lawnmower, and just mow this little part of the house, in front of the house. Okay, daddy, I'll do it. Then they take it. And then you say, okay, I'm coming. Maybe you run upstairs. By the time you come, the mower is running. And they are not there. And then you say to your head, where can part, you know, something. I was going to mention somebody, but maybe your name will be right. And the name I mentioned will be your name. You'll be offended more. Then we say, where is he? Then say, oh, you know, there are some children playing football. I hear them playing football, basketball in the corner. Let me go and check. I'm sure my son will be there. And then you go, yeah, truly your son will be there. Because he's unsteady, unreliable. He cannot stay focused. Yeah. It is only children who get angry. I'm leaving home. Like SpongeBob. I'm leaving home. How many of you know SpongeBob? Yeah, I'm leaving home. Why are you going? Where are you? You are a child. unsteady, not stable. It's only wives and husbands, and I've been like that before, who are unsteady, who say, I'm leaving my marriage. Where are you going? Yeah, I told you one day I packed my things. I couldn't take all of it because I knew I'd come back. So I just took a shirt and a pair of pants. And I drove around. Don't laugh at you. You've done it too before. I went to Walmart. Drove around. Then I parked at Walmart. Hey, say, let me sleep small. And I looked at my, I'll take a nap. I think I've slept for a long time. The nap is only 5 minutes. Time not moving. I said, you know, I'll go back home around 1 a.m. when nobody's, you know. Lady Pastor is asleep and I'll just sneak back quietly into the thing. And I'll say to her that in my head, you are lucky that I've come back. Child, where are you going? Where are you going? Eh? Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, where are you going? Yeah. It's nowhere to go. It's only children who act that way. You are a child, unsteady, unstable. I'm leaving my work. I'm leaving my work. I'm leaving my work. I'm leaving my work. Yeah. Yeah, your head is square like SpongeBob. I'm leaving my work. You don't leave your job like that. Where are you going? Do you have another one? Even if you think that the job is not inappropriate for you, you work towards getting another one. And you don't go blabbing, blabbing, I'm leaving this job, I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. Yeah, you coolly get the thing and then you coolly go out. And if it's God who really wants you to move, he'll find you one. And by the way, if it's not God, you stay where you are for a long time. Until you learn from the school of hard knocks how to behave in a job. Yeah. It's all training for ministry. Yeah. Yeah. These days, when I'm so uncomfortable, I just keep quiet. Because I've grown, I've matured, at least I've learned. I've worked so many. When you work in so many places, realize that all jobs are the same. This one that you are running away from, you will see that you're going to meet a similar thing. So when you move from one place to the other, you are just exchanging the type of problems. You are exchanging problem A for problem B. And you are exchanging problem B for problem C. But you still have a problem. Learn how to deal with problems. That's growth. That is growth. Yeah. Last week, I think, revival at Seth, Bishop was talking about apostolic ministry. Yeah. An apostle, the simple te prochapa. Lenkru sunto enatapia zimbra listakaya makuria lengro shkide. So rise up and chase the best gift. Desire the apostolic gift, which is a high gift. It takes you over and promotes you into the deep things of God. See here the Spirit of God. Listen, you need a certain apostolic spirit in you. And as he was talking about it, one of the things he said was how even the apostolic anointing helps you even overcome. You see, when you see him walking around like that, you feel like, oh, he's a very nice, he's a very handsome man. He seemed not to have any problems. Yeah. Recently, I was preaching somewhere and I said that I've now realized that life is full of fights. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't like it, check out of this world. Yeah, call God. God, you know, this thing that you put me in, you just take me out. I want to come home. It's a fight. And the fight changes. See, as you are there right now, you see, like you and your beloved, maybe you have one or two quarrels. See, now, that fight will turn into now quarrels, marriage quarrels. And then children come, then children quarrels. Yes. And as you hit 50s, you see that there's midlife quarrels. Hey! There are midlife quarrels. Yes. Nana Kwame, you are on a honeymoon now. Yeah. Cruise. Enjoy it. Are we here? So that's one of the characteristics. It says tossed to and fro. Another characteristic of children is that they are
They talk too much. Yeah. You see, when you talk too much, you're also not far from sinning. Because in the multitude of words, there lacketh no sin. Every day you are running your mouth. Over-talking, talkativeness. In my language, you have something called akasanoma, which actually is a brand of radio. A brand, like how you have Sanyo, you have whatever brand of akasan, which means a talking bird. Is that right? Yeah, a bird that talks. Ask your neighbor that you don't look like somebody who talks a lot. Yeah. When you talk too much, you lack no sin. You will fall into sin. Yeah. Vain talking. In fact, I can't stand it when I hear people talk about themselves. I got this. Please, just shut up. As you say, we don't need to know what car you drive, what this thing you drive, what food you eat. Please, just or where you've traveled. We don't care. Just keep quiet. Vain talking. Talking about themselves. Vain. It's of no use. It lacks edification. As you talk, before you talk, I'm the same. After you talk, in fact, I've even decreased. Yes, there's no edification. My life has not improved. My life has not increased. My life has not gotten better. It's useless talk. Yeah, that's another type of talk. Then we also have backbiting, evil speaking. Biting people behind. It's children who do that. If you have a problem with me, let's sit and talk. Yeah, let's say, oh, sister, you know, the last time we were talking, it really affected me a little bit. Don't go behind the person and be like, what for? It's only children who do that. Amen. Children are also curious. Curiosity killed what? Yeah. As soon as you come from you know, grocery, maybe you went to Sam's Club or BJ's, and then you come, and then, can I borrow your bag? Then you come, and as soon as you come, you put your bag down, you know, you put it down. Is it on Facebook? Oh, down. And the whole world to see my wife's bag. So, listen, and then you put the bag down. You see, it's only curious children. So I come, hey, mommy came, daddy came, hey, I wonder what he be, what he be. Sometimes even something is being planned for your birthday to give you a sweet surprise. Then you've looked in it and then I saw it, right? Curiosity. That is how children are. You are curious. You concern yourself about too many things. Things that you don't know. Things that are higher than you. This church, you know, every time you come here, they say three offerings. Take one offering. They take one offering. They take two offerings. Then they take three offerings. I mean, and you don't know what they're doing with it. You know, what them. Your English is not good. It went good at that time. You see, curious. That should not be the reason why you don't pay tithes. Should not be. Even if you think I'm a thief in the church, pay tight. That's your instruction. Pay tight. And worry about what is being used for. Anyway, by the way, I'm not a thief. Just to clarify that. Amen. So children are curious. They are curious. They are always looking into things, nosy. Sometimes it's your nosiness that even affects your faith. Because you concern yourself too much about other. Concentrate on you and God. You see, the reason why God has not done something A for Sister S, it should not be your concern. Yeah. It should not be your concern.
By the way, the Lord will do that A for you in Jesus' name.
It should not be your concern. It should not be your concern. Sometimes we are so cured. Why did this person die? Why did this person get cancer? Why did this person Please just shut up. Concentrate on God. When he says that I am your healer, believe it. Don't go poking your nose into we don't know everything. Yeah. Yeah. Can I tell you, one day he had a vision. He lost his sister. And he was mourning. He was hurting because he's a man of miracles and an anointed man. And he prayed and nothing happened. His sister died. And then he had a vision. And God showed him. God revealed to him how happy his sister was. Then he asked the Lord, why? Why did it happen? And the Lord looked at him and said, the things that are revealed are for man. There are things that God does not have to reveal to you. God said, it's between why she died, it's between me and her. It's between me and her. That doesn't change the written word. It does not change what God has said. It is between me and her. Stay focused. Look at God. The reason why something is happening to somebody, pray for the person, but the reason why it is happening is not even your concern. Listen, life, I keep saying, life is a summation of different many decisions that you've taken in the past. And sometimes it's hard to say, but it even though you are a Christian, you see, you can also not violate God's word. Sometimes things are seeds that have sown and germinated. Yeah, it has seed mercy. I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, God, forgive me if I'm wrong. But it's true. As a man sweat, he reaped. God has forgiven you. But there are, when David went astray, you know what I mean, our man David. Yeah, God forgave him. But nevertheless, there was a consequence of what he did. And he went through the whole consequence. See, so don't blame God. Don't blame God. Don't be curious and be looking. There are many, using this as an example to show you that there are things that are behind the scenes that you don't know why people go through things. You understand? But for me and you, we must believe God. Amen. It's only children who are curious. Amen. Then finally, the adult stage. But that's how much time would allow us for. Next week, we'll talk about the adult stage. Bow down your heads, everyone. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to say, Pastor, pray for me. You're not sure where you will go when you die. You're not sure where you would end up when you die. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. You don't even know what being born again is. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter. And if you're watching us on live Facebook, it includes you. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom in Jesus' name. So if you are here and you need Jesus, with every head bow, every eye bow, I instruct you to close your eyes. Don't make it uncomfortable for people. Lift up that hand gently and I'll pray for you. You're not sure where you would go if you were to die. Anybody here? Anybody here? All right. Number two, if you are here and you know that your relationship with God is not right, it is not where it ought to be, and you want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make it a U-turn and come right back to God. Anybody like that here? Raise up your hand and I'll pray for you. All right. Father, we thank you. We bless you. I want you to say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me, you shed your blood for me, you loved me so much, and you restored me back to God. This morning, I receive Jesus. I rededicate my life unto the Lord. And thank you that I am your child, and I will serve you with renewed strength, with freshness of strength, in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps you pray this prayer genuinely. You didn't want to raise up your hand. There's still room. Just come talk to me or Lady Pastor or any of the pastors right after church. Amen. All right.